everything that we've been talking about, everything we're doing is all about kings. Our last song said, take your place at the table of the king. And our readings are all about kings as well. The Old Testament readings about shepherds, but shepherds became this image for what it is like to be a great king. And as you look in the Old Testament, you see that idea coming to fruition, you know, through David and through others, that a shepherd is actually what the great king will be like, what the Messiah will be like. And then from our song of Zechariah, this idea of this Messiah, this king coming to set us free. It's all about being set free, free from this kingdom where sin is at the core of it, that we might enter into the kingdom of God, the great shepherd, the king. And then from our New Testament, it's this, or from the reading from Colossians, Colossians is this amazing story of this relationship between God and God's kingdom and we here on earth. And it's describing in this part, chapter 1, this king that has set up this kingdom. And it talks about his glorious power, that he's rescued us from the power of darkness, that his image is that of the invisible God, for in him all things in heaven and earth are created. He's the great creator, the creator God, the creator spirit, things visible and invisible, for in him the fullness of God was pleased to live. And then we hear that he's got this sign on the cross that says, this is the King of the Jews. So this idea of the reign of Christ or Christ the King Sunday is really important. And the reason is it has to do with identity. Identity. The identity of God and your identity, my identity. And identity is really important. You know, when we think about that even more these days, we think about, you know, your identity if you're called before the courts. They want to know your name first so they know they're talking to the right person. And then they want to find out about your identity, your character, and whether you've done anything wrong. And about a week ago, I was telephoned by Revenue Canada to find out if I was Howard Thornton. And I told them I was. Why? And they said, well, because there's two Howard Thorntons that we have on file. And one lives in Calgary. And we wondered whether you were just sort of living there in Canmore, but that was also you in Calgary. I said, nope. I'm a different Howard Thornton than whoever you're talking about. And we do have different middle names. So if you ever want to check to see if you're talking to the right one, just remember I have a middle name and we can talk about that later. And Jesus warned about his identity. He said, you know, people might be coming and claiming to be me. In Matthew 24, verse 5, he says, for many will come in my name, claiming that I'm the Messiah, and they will deceive many people. And that's happened throughout history. Some have claimed to be the anointed one of God. And today you might worry if your identity is being stolen, that somebody might gain access to your information. On September 30th, 1974, in South Bend, Indiana, Elvis Presley made it clear that he is not the king. Somebody shouted up to him, you're the king, you're the king. And he said this, I can't accept this kingship thing. Because to me, there's only one king, and that's Christ. Interesting, isn't it? Even the king of rock and roll was concerned about identity theft, and he wanted to be clear about who he was and who Jesus is. And the Bible's a book about identity. It's about your identity, who you are, and it's about God's identity, who God is, what God's like, what are his attributes. And in days gone by when people knew one another face-to-face instead of just over the telephone or the internet, you know, it was important that your bank manager knew who you were. Then you might be able to get a loan. But if he didn't know who you were, you might not, because he wouldn't know your character. And the same is true about getting married. You know, when I was in England still, we used to have to call the banns of marriage of people. And that's all to do with your identity and making sure that it's right, that you're telling the truth, that you are the person that you are, if you're going to marry somebody else, so that we don't find out later you're married to somebody in three other towns or something like that. There's more to identity than that. In Revelation 19:16, Jesus is given the full title, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In John's vision, Jesus is returning to judge the world of his earthly kingdom. And that's all predicted in Mark chapter 13. But there's more to it than that. The books of the Old Testament contain a lot of passages about the Messiah. All the prophecies of Jesus have been fulfilled. For example, the crucifixion of Jesus was foretold in Psalm 22, approximately 1,000 years before Christ was born, and long before this idea of crucifixion was even practiced. After Christ's resurrection, preachers of the New Testament church began to declare officially that Jesus was the Messiah by divine appointment. That means it was in the scriptures. For example, Luke, writing the message of Acts of the disciples, says, Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And Paul writes, I, Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets of the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who is descended from David. And all these are sort of part of a legal language to say this is something that's true. There's a book called Science Speaks, and in it, Peter Stoner and Robert Newman, who are the authors, discuss the statistical improbability of one man, whether accidentally or deliberately, fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. The chance of that happening, they say, now they're obviously a lot better at mathematics than I am, and some of you are all better at mathematics than I am, but the chance of this happening, they say, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Stoner, who is an American, gives this illustration from an American side of the fence. He says, suppose we take 10 to the 17th power of silver dollars and we lay them on the face of Texas. They would cover all of the state 2 feet deep. And if you marked one of those coins and then stirred up all of the coins and laid them out and asked one of you to come blindfolded and find that one coin, that's what this would be like to try to accomplish. So it's virtually impossible to have these claims to be Christ that are fulfillment of all these Old Testament scriptures without actually it being true. The name of Jesus is derived from the Hebrew and Aramaic word Yahshua, which means Yahweh, or the Lord is salvation. The name Christ is actually a title for Jesus, comes from the Greek word Christos, and it means the anointed one or Messiah in Hebrew. Jesus is the central figure in Christianity. His life, his message, his ministry are chronicled in the 4 Gospels. Most Bible scholars agree that Jesus was a Jewish teacher from Galilee who performed many miracles of healing and deliverance, that he called 12 Jewish men to follow him, working closely with them to train and prepare them to carry on ministry. The scriptures say Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem by order of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, for proclaiming to be the King of the Jews. He resurrected 3 days after his death, appeared to his disciples, and ascended to heaven. And all of this was prophesied in the scriptures, the Old Testament. His life and his death provide the atoning sacrifice for the whole world. Who else could claim to be that? And that he will claim his bride, the church, later when he comes again. And you know, these are all things that shouldn't be any great surprise to you, because we talk about these every Sunday in the words of the Creed, that's what we believe the Messiah to be like. That's what we believe the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be like. And that Christ accomplished many things, too many to list. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He lived a sinless life. He turned water into wine, healed many sick people, blind and lame people. He forgave sins. He multiplied fish and loaves of bread to feed thousands on more than one occasion. He delivered demon-possessed people. He walked on water. He calmed the stormy sea. He raised children and adults from death to life. Christ proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. And he laid down his life and he was crucified and he descended into hell and he took the keys of death and hell and he was resurrected from the dead. He was truly the anointed one. And yet sometimes we just dismiss him or dismiss his identity. He's the greatest teacher of all times. The lessons from Christ's life are just too numerous to mention. His teaching about how we need to love one another and love our enemies. The importance of sacrifice, humility, purity, servanthood, obedience, and devotion to God. Are any of those things what an earthly king talks to you about? This is the greatest king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's Christ's identity, God's identity. And what about your identity and mine? What are you like? If it became illegal to become a Christian or to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you in the way you live your life, in the identity that people see within you? Here are some of the attributes of a person whose life has been transformed by the love of God through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, that you are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And you start to live by God's standards, not by the standards of the world. You start to value the things that God values, not the things that the world values. As a member of God's people, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. It doesn't matter where you come from. You are part of this royal priesthood. You're a people of God's possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have a new life because you've been crucified with Christ. You're a child of God because Scripture says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You're a friend of God. Lots of people live their lives afraid of God, but you're a friend of God. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have, I heard from my Father, and I've made known to you. You're created for greatness. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You belong to Christ, to God. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, and apart from me you can do nothing. And we try to live apart from God sometimes. Say, I can just do this on my own. But without him, we can't. We can't please God without him at the center of who we are, without him as the king of our lives. And he calls you to greatness. And he tells you you're no longer guilty. And he tells you that he lives in you. Paul writes this, or do you not know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. You have access to God. You can speak to him whenever you want, and he's listening. Scripture tells us that. That Scripture also tells us you don't need to live in fear anymore. For God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And your character is transformed day by God. Put then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I could go on and on, but let me say this. If we allow our identity to be found in Jesus, and if Jesus' identity is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then every day, every minute, we are called empowered, transformed, renewed in the image of God, that we might truly love one another and love God. Amen. I'm going to just be quiet and ask you to just think about your identity in God, and then we'll pray.